Welcome to The Worst Week Yet, the least informed podcast on the left. It's a podcast where every week we get activated by the National Broadcast Alert System and become zombies. However, due to already being dead inside, there's little to no noticeable difference. I'm your host, Andrew Hillary, and I'm joined once again by my longtime friend, most times co-host, Dee Dee Rose. Deanna, what's up?
Did you know that I'm a little bit zombie?
What?
I'm a little bit rock and roll.
Okay, so I do understand what the words you said like mean individually, but together I do not.
So I have blood clots in my lungs, and my left lung, like part of my left lung, died. But like they didn't take it out. It's just in there. It's just like necrotized tissue that's in there.
That's gross, dude. That probably smells so bad.
You're welcome.
I don't really like that information.
Yeah. I mean, at least
I feel like I didn't ask for that either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
you got to like give us a heads up before you're going to start talking about any part of your body that is currently necrotized. Hey, Kennedy's here too. Kennedy, any part of you dead?
Just all the inside parts.
Yeah, when I say I'm dead inside, I'm not being dramatic. I'm being serious. I'm being literal and legitimate.
Well, legitimate.
Well, it's good to have the two of you here. Deanna, you're actually not here. You're on location, reporting live from, undisclosed. We can't give your assassination coordinates in real time.
Thanks. Even though this is gonna, actually, you know what? I will still be in this location.
Yeah.
When this episode aired. Ooh. Thanks for not doxing. Thanks for not doxing.
I like that you said when this episode airs, like, tune in again. It's 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It airs.
Hell yeah.
We air it out. Listen, speaking of airing it out, Ken, how's your COVID?
You know, I'm not wearing a mask on this Zoom call. I just want to disclose that to everyone.
Well, that's good. Throwing out your mask is how you cure COVID.
Oh, okay.
You take that it outside. You take it outside and you hit it with a baseball bat.
I thought I did Molly off the mask. That's how I cured the COVID.
Wait. Oh, yeah. I did tell you I did that. I was like, did you do that too? And then I was like, oh. No.
That's just a you thing.
You know really, what? It seems unfair that Deanna's doing Molly off of other people's COVID masks to get COVID, and I'm just getting it.
It seems even more unfair that I take almost no precautions and have yet to get it.
That's unfair. That's actually a tragedy.
Yeah.
I think it's supremely unfair that I took a lot of precautions and then got a bunch of COVID anyways. So I was like, fuck it, drugs out the mask. And then I didn't get COVID. That is none of the ways I ever got COVID.
I think it's unfair that you and I went to the same comedy festival and hung out in every single of the same room and talked to all the same people for a week and you got COVID and I didn't. I think, you know what? That is not fair.
We flew on different planes.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's how you get COVID, is you leave the ground. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's flying.
Humans were not meant to be in the sky, okay?
Airborne.
I always think...
That's, you know, Fauci, release the files. Folks, we got a lot of fucking news, I guess you would say. This was a very eventful week, and it just kept coming. So we're going to get to that, but... First,
you know what else we've got a lot of, but not enough of?
Problems?
I was going to say patrons.
Same thing.
God, I'm trying to do an ad read here. Shit, man.
That's right. We got a Patreon. Patreon.com/worstweekend, where we talk about stuff that is additional to the stuff that we talk about here. Sometimes it's extra news. Sometimes it's bullshit. Sometimes we're talking about a movie or TV show that we may or may not like. Sometimes, every once in a while, we traumatize ourselves and watch Skinamarink twice. Folks, it's patreon.com/worstweekend. Give a couple bucks, get some extra shows. And if you give $10 a month, we say your fucking name. So, Big shout out to Chauncey Unders, Terminally Online Leftist, Music to Ignore, Zap Actions Downer, Mega Force Base, Nandy Angelus, Dracula 206, AJ from Baltimore, The Man in the West, Optimus Crime, Goblin Mode, Andrea Humphrey, You Fuck Like My Dad, Josh Troopin, Brienne, Nick Adams, parentheses, Alpha Male, Idnix, and CIA Brain Bugs. Patreon.com/FirstWeekEd. Thank you very much. Hell yeah.
You know what else? We have more things to plug. So we will not be doxing my personal location, but Andrew,
we are going to dox Andrew Hillary's assassination coordinates.
Yeah, because Andrew Hillary is going on tour. That's right. So he is going to tell y'all where he's going to be, when he's going to be there, probably on Twitter. He'll tell everyone. And then, you know, the coordinates are released.
Yeah, my first show is October 25th in Raleigh, North Carolina. I don't remember where. My next show hasn't been booked. I've got one show booked. So, but I'm going to go through Florida, through Texas. I'm going to be in New Orleans on Halloween. If I did come up with a Halloween costume. I'll tell you it's off the air. I want it to be a surprise. And then I'm going to maybe go through Oklahoma City. I don't know why. Then I'm going to make the right turn at Albuquerque, Salt Lake City, Denver, Iowa, Nebraska. I don't fucking know. It's a mess. It's a nightmare. I have set myself up for just unbelievable levels of failure. But you know what? I'm going to have some fun along the way. So check me out on all the places and I'll come tell jokes to you.
You should go on tour on first, the Oregon Trail, and then you should go on tour on, the route the Pony Express took.
Okay.
What about those guys that had to eat each other?
Come see me on the Silk Road.
The Donner Party.
Yeah, take whatever path the Donnie Party, Donnie Trump. I don't know. I've got COVID, guys. I'm not doing so good.
Here's the thing. The Donner Party, and you know, I hate to victim blame, although I do it a lot whenever it doesn't actually make any sense. The Donner Party, you know, on one hand, you could say, how could you expect to go out there, you know, to see the world, to travel to someplace new, and then end up having to eat each other. But on the other hand, it's like, your name is one letter off from dinner. Of course you're going to get fucking eaten. Come on, Donner Party. Mm-hmm. Also, what kind of a party is that where the snacks are each other? Come on.
Whoa.
Come on.
Whoa, asking the questions.
We're asking
what
the
I
questions.
What I want to know is, what were they wearing when, their friends started to eat them? Were they asking for it?
A balsamic glaze. So, honestly, what did you think was going to happen? Yeah, sorry. Sorry to victim blame the Donner Party, but...
You can't do that Kramer thing where you start bathing in butter all the time and expect no results. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
Wait, pause. The Donner Party was on the Oregon Trail.
Okay, well, that's two birds with one stone right there.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Gonna get Andrew Hillary stoned twice. That's what I heard.
Mm-hmm. And I will kill a bird. And by bird, I mean myself. Folks, we've got news. So I want to begin this week. I'm sorry for everybody at home. I'm currently drinking some warm apple cider. And it's very tasty. And I'm having a good time. So why don't you, before we get into this news, why don't you go and get yourself a nice little glass of a nice little mug full of something warm. It's chilly out there today. Kennedy, ew. Did it get chilly out there where you're at?
No.
It got chilly here. yesterday was the first day where you walked outside and it was like, ooh, this is brisk.
I mean, it's chilly if you're a lizard, a heat lamp accustomed lizard like me.
For all of our reptile listeners. Anyways, now that you've gotten a nice warm beverage, let's dive in. This week...
Did we say the patrons' names?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, you do got that, Covey.
you got that Roni D.
Damn.
Where the D came from.
So this week, The United States House of Representatives experienced quite a little bit of a shakeup, if you will. Led by the United States House of Representatives. Ever heard of it?
Nope.
No.
It used to be called the House of Representing.
I think it's called the House of Resentment now.
No, no. That's a Game of Thrones thing, Deanna. This is real life, okay?
God, okay. I'll try to keep up.
So this week, Kevin McCarthy got fired as Speaker of the House. So, you know, we were talking about it last week, and they hit the ground running. I think it was like within a day or two of him passing the short-term budget deal or whatever, they kicked his ass out. And so now we have been forced to somehow, once again, have a conversation about whether or not force the vote would have worked.
But so here's the thing about forcing the vote. All right. It's that you liberal baby something. I don't know.
I know you've got COVID, but just harness your inner Jimmy Dore. Just get it out.
the liberals and Bernie Sanders.
The
and
fraud
I'm
squad? The fraud squad?
Yeah. I don't even know enough what Jimmy... wait, hold on. Let me just do a couple transphobias. Will that get me there? Then I'll sound like Jimmy Dore, right?
You'll be close enough. It'll be a passing impersonation. So, you know, I don't even really want to talk about it, but just like the fact that like so many people were like, this is why AOC and the squad should have forced the vote. It's like, man, like the Republicans are not getting anything from this. This is actually just making a bigger mess. Like there's no good that is coming from Kevin McCarthy losing his job at all. Like it's making the situation worse unambiguously. Like it's so funny. For somebody to point it.
In fact, it's kind of ironic in a way because this is a job that very few people want. And Kevin McCarthy was like a weird nerd who was like, yes, I can't wait to be Speaker of the House. Mm-hmm. And they're like, nah, we're throwing that guy out. And now they're like looking around like, who wants the weird nerd job? And it's like, nobody, dude.
Well,
why does no one want the weird nerd job?
Because you just aren't basically a punching bag.
This is like being like, yeah, I want to be the hall monitor.
You know what? I think that there is an 83-year-old woman out there who recently retired who maybe has some regrets. Maybe she'll be back.
83 is a little young to retire, Deanna. I don't know. So there are a few people. One of them is Jim Jordan, who, if you don't know, Jim Jordan is a representative who I only know because he was involved in covering up a sex abuse scandal.
He's a former pedophile a current pedophile.
Well, yes, former, current, future.
Allegedly. I'm sorry.
Jim Jordan.
I forgot to put the allegedly in there. Allegedly.
Steve Scalise, who is a representative who I believe he said something along the lines of like, I'm like if the KKK was more socially acceptable, like just an outright.
Steve Scalise, also an alleged pedophile, not by any major publications, just by me right now.
You better be careful with that. We'll talk about calling somebody a pedophile later. Apparently, comedy is no longer legal, but that's fine.
I said alleged.
Alleged. My bad. So, you know, that's the only two names that I've really seen. Although Donald Trump has thrown his support behind Jim Jordan and said he might even speak at the House of Representatives in support of him. But there is one other name being floated for the job of Speaker of the House, and that is none other than Donald Trump.
Also an alleged pedophile.
I feel like that's confirmed.
Apparently.
Okay, I didn't actually know that, but when you brought him up, I was like, I thought that you were going to say that he wanted the job.
I don't think he wants the job, but a few people have been like, I don't know if he's actively seeking it, but you know, like he would take it. Of course he would take it.
You don't have to be actively seeking it to be nominated.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe the three of us could see if we could get in there. Like, I feel like we could do a good job. Just the three of us.
We're not a Speaker of the House. We're just three podcasters in a trench coat.
I mean, we're the Speaker. Speaker of the House. Let's break it down. What do we do on the podcast? We speak. Where do we record? A house. Your Honor, I rest my case.
Whoa. I'm in a hotel. Am I speaker of the hotel?
Yes.
Okay. Accepted.
Yeah. Hotels are just temporary house. Short-term house.
My dog's not here. And that's not.
It's just dogless house. Okay, we settled it.
All right. So who is it that wants Donald Trump to be the speaker of the house?
I think Marjorie Taylor Greene said it. I don't know. I heard it being talked about. I don't know if anybody's like really that serious about it. Cause like technically the Republican Party has some rules against people that are under indictment, not being able to hold the speakership, but you know, rules were made to be trumped. Oh, I got rid of the green button, by the way. So you can't.
I am
that
the green button.
Me. God damn it.
It lives inside of me.
Mm. Well, yeah, that's we'll have to see
in my dead lung.
We'll have to see who ends up diving on that grenade. But like I said, I think it's unambiguously for certain that things are worse than they were before they got rid of Kevin McCarthy for the Republicans in Congress. I don't think good has come of this or will. But, you know, only time will tell.
Only time will tell if this is going to be bad or really bad or worse than we anticipated.
It's the worst Congress yet. So, moving on. This week, the genealogy website 23andMe was hacked and millions of points of data relating to whether or not their customers had any Ashkenazi Jewish bloodline was taken out of the system. Like a bunch of people hacked into 23andMe to figure out who was at least partly Jewish. And that is unsettling.
Yay.
Hey, aren't
okay.
you?
Okay. But then Paris Jackson retweeted something that was like someone typing in Notes app that was like, or not retweeted, posted on Instagram. It was like, I am Jewish. I am afraid. Like a few other things like that. And a whole bunch of people freaked out because they were like, Paris Jackson is American and has no ties, like nothing to be afraid about with concern to Israel. And then it makes a lot more sense that she tweeted that, knowing now this 23andMe story.
She did not tweet that because of the 23andMe thing. That had nothing to do with it.
That's one.
Yeah.
And two, Paris Jackson's mother converted to Judaism like before she met Michael Jackson. And so even if it was about the 23andMe thing, she still has no like ancestral or genetic ties to Israel or to being Jewish.
That has nothing to do with this story.
yes, but I am mad about it. And the word Jewish was in both.
Okay.
Damn, really makes you think.
Yeah. I rest my case, Your Honor.
Well, so this has been completely derailed, I guess. I don't know.
Direction. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to derail you. Let's talk about the 23andMe. I mean, we knew that was going to be a problem from the jump, did we not?
Yeah, you shouldn't send your DNA to anybody, but especially a company in capitalism. Like, this is probably, honestly, although it's a hack and like not technically something they're allowed to do, it's probably one of the least awful things that they've done with your genetic material. If I'm being honest, they probably have sold it to companies that are trying to figure out what kind of things to market to you based off of eugenics or something. I don't know. It's not good. I don't like
it. It's not good. It's also like, what a crazy scam. They're like, what if you pay us to send us your DNA? At least the like plasma bank people pay you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is wild. Did I tell you that? Never mind. That's okay.
What? Well, now I want to know. I'm going to think about it for the rest of the episode.
Did I tell you that whenever I visited Brad Pearson, friend of the show, he and his girlfriend had gotten a 23andMe test for their dog and found one of their dog's distant relatives and then FaceTimed the dog so that the dogs could meet?
I didn't know they FaceTimed dogs.
That's a bit That's a bit white even for me. Not gonna lie.
The two dogs were just like in front of the tablets. Like, dogs can't understand what's happening on a screen. Like, here's what you got to do. If you want the two dogs to meet, you have to like rub something on one of the dogs and then mail it to the other dog. Like, so they can smell it. Like that.
I feel like we've mailed enough DNA.
Yeah. Just mail. Just like, I don't know. Rub a little, put a little bandana on your dog. Let it run around. Get that scent on it. Then mail the bandana. And if you mail them both at the same time, and then you can open up the FaceTime call. So like you're getting something for you, like you see the dogs, but you let the dogs sniff each other and they'll be like, whoa, that smells like me. That's how dogs talk. So
I feel like this sounds like an episode of Black Mirror.
If you are going to meet these dogs up in real life, just stop. Just stop. Like- Brad, I'm sorry. We've hung out. You're cool. But also,
wait, you've hung out with Brad? Where?
No, not in real life.
Oh, okay, okay. I hung out with Brad in real life. He made me a burger. I know, it was delicious.
I'm just saying, Brad, we're cool, but also, the next time we podcast together, buddy, I got questions.
Anyways, check out Selfwares, Brad's podcast rules. Let's move on.
It is good.
You know what? While we're, I guess we can just talk about it since we're like on the subject of the, I would say the real thing Paris Jackson was upset about. It's a good way to transition into this.
I am an excellent podcaster. Fuck you.
I was being facetious. So as Paris Jackson said, two days ago, Hamas launched an attack against Israel, and so full-out war has broken out in Gaza, in the Gaza Strip, and this is fucking
actually
wild.
I want to contest that assessment.
I would say full-out one-sided war. Like, Israel has declared war back. Like, yeah, I don't want to mince my words too much.
Well, no, it's more like I think it's been a war zone for a long time.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah.
And Israel, like everything that I've read, it's been so freaking slanted. Like, I saw a New York Times opinion piece come out almost immediately, like this had been pre-written, that was like, is Israel supposed to just lay down and take these loss of lives? And it's like, you don't even mention that Palestinians are dying anywhere in this article. Like, yeah. It's just ridiculous. It's like
prior to the quote unquote start of this war, something like 400 Palestinians have been killed this year. So it's like, I don't know, bro. Like, I'm not saying it's good that Israelis are dying, but like, this didn't just start 2 days ago. This, you've been killing them a lot longer.
That's all I'm trying to say. No. Like, all the loss of life is unfortunate and bad, and people should be trying to prevent it. And ultimately, the leadership on both sides of this conflict, to a large extent, don't experience the worst parts of it, but especially on the Israeli side, this is incredibly true. And the people that will bear the burden on both sides will be the most economically worse off in general.
Yeah. Yeah, so I do just want to point out a few things. First of all, apparently, so this was like a surprise attack. Like, Israel did not see this coming at all. Apparently, because, you know, the Gaza Strip is an open-air prison, like, there is just miles of fence around it. What, Deanna?
Did they not see it coming, like, actually, or did they not see it coming like how Bush didn't see 9/11 coming? As in, he knew and let it happen.
Well, to be honest, I would have no way to really know that, but I don't think that they did anticipate this coming. I think the Hamas soldiers or fighters or whatever caught them flat-footed, because they just, if you haven't seen this, apparently, and I saw this on Twitter, so there's like an 80% chance that this is just some fucking shit somebody typed into AI, but apparently, they got over the border fence with fucking hang gliders with giant fans attached to them. And I just, again, not 100% sure if this is accurate, but holy fuck. Like,
paramotors are real, and it seems somewhat credible that they might have been used, although it's really too early to say, and I'm not gonna assume anything right now because there was way too much fucking shit in the Ukraine war, and I luckily didn't fall for any of it, but I'm not gonna start falling for it now. But all the like, oh, this ace pilot's taken down 17 Russian pilots in the last 2 days, and it's like shots from fucking War Thunder.
Yeah, there's been there's been a disgusting amount of misinformation, disinformation, people using videos that are 4 years old or whatever. It's the internet fucking sucks. But this is the in addition to people getting shit just factually wrong, liberals have come out of the woodwork to say the stupidest fucking opinions. You know, so many countless people just talking about, like, we stand with Israel against this unprovoked violence. It's like, dude, shut the fuck up. Like, you don't have to endorse what the Palestinians are doing. Like, I think you should. Like, maybe not all of it, but, like, to be like, we stand unequivocally with Israel. It's like, man, like, that's bad. Like, when you watch Star Wars, like, are you like, this empire is doing great. What are these rebels doing, man? Like, leave them alone. Like, what the fuck? Like, we understand the very basic concept of these people are in a fucking prison and have no future and have been pushed to the brink, and then they fight back. And, like, they do some nasty shit when they fight back, but, like, it's because they're in the fucking open-air prison. Like, it's not... It's not coincidence. Right. It's not inherent to their nature. It's that you've put them into a dire fucking situation, which is life and death for them already. So they are going to make it life or death for you. Like,
so one of the things that Israel is doing or planning to do, they are stopping the supply of electricity, fuel, and goods to Gaza. So that's nice. Let's make the people that being imprisoned has galvanized into, like, terrorism. You know, let's terrorize those people further.
And the thing is there, again, it's being presented as like, you know, they've tried to be peaceful with them, and it's like the peace is offering them scraps.
Yeah. The peace is they have built a seawall out so that they can't, go around the fence that they're already not allowed to go through. Like, the peace is, the peace is not evil. Fucking peace. Yeah, it's horrifying. And, you know, it's very, there have been like a few like public officials that I saw make like at least a somewhat decent statement, like Rashida Tlaib and Cori Bush and Summer Lee actually said something, you know, pretty good. Where they're like at least acknowledge, like, you know, they're still saying like condemning violence across the board, but they're saying like this will not end if this apartheid occupation continues. Like, if you leave that part out, then you are being so disingenuous. And if you make it, if you frame this as people that the Palestinians are doing this because the Israelis are Jewish, that's so fucking dishonest. It has nothing to do with that. And it's just such a fucking cop out to be like, oh, well, like Paris Jackson said, I'm so scared to be a Jew. Nobody cares that they're what religion their oppressors are. They just want to stop being fucking oppressed. Paris.
Also, I hate that we had this story about 23andMe is like trying to enable the fucking anti-Semites in the United States to like find Jewish folks and harm us.
And it's like, fair,
and here you are, you're like, but I am a citizen of Israel doing that fucking meme. Like, it's like, why not draw attention to the actual goddamn problems? These people don't even give a shit, you know? Like you pretend like this fake problem is real because you're disconnected from all problems. Great. fantastic. There's real problems in the world that actually matter, and you're ignoring them in favor of an insane genocidal rampage against people that don't deserve it. And I saw that, like, so like the New York DSA is doing like a pro-Palestine rally, and like there's people freaking out about it. Like, you can't even, you're not even supposed to like acknowledge that these people have a right to exist anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. And it almost seems like it like almost seems like this will just keep going on until the Palestinian people are exterminated, which, like, how did we get here? That's the only conclusion that, like, that the people in power in Israel seem to be putting forward is, like, we will keep squeezing them into a smaller and smaller space, and when they fight back, we'll kill them, and we'll just keep squeezing and squeezing. Like, the logical conclusion of that is you're just going to kill all of them. Like, it's...
I think that's the plan.
Yeah. Benjamin Netanyahu did get on TV and say... Now, apparently this is, like, not an exact translation, but he was saying, like, that he declared war on Hamas, and he said that everybody in Gaza must leave. And it's like, dude, this is a prison. People cannot leave. And, yeah, they've just been raining down bombs on all the apartment, not all, but a lot of apartment buildings and residential areas. And, you know, there's been a lot of blood spilled, and there will be a lot more. And... this has, again, has nothing to do with anybody's religious beliefs. This is just fucking oppression. And
and when we speak to the fact of it not being to do with anyone's religious beliefs, it's so specific that, like, it's not that that saying that you condemn the oppression of Palestinian people in Gaza, in the West Bank, which is Israeli occupied, condemning that oppression and apartheid is not the same as anti-Semitism.
Yeah, yeah. It's
the Venn diagram doesn't exist.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just an excuse, because, like, those same people understand, like, the concept of, like, oh, well, I'm against what the Chinese government does. That doesn't mean I hate Chinese people. They understand it. They just, like, it's just completely selectively used. And, you know, we're all just lying to ourselves and trying to figure out some way where we're the good guy of a story that is. Anyways, this has been upsetting. Let's move on. Solidarity to Palestinian people. And hey, there's another war going on right now. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Andrew, are you going to talk about yet another situation you know almost nothing about and give us some bullshit information about the war in Ukraine? No, that's not what I'm going to do. There's a war happening right now in the streets of the Pittsburgh of Europe. That's right. I'm talking about France. Paris, to be specific. And the war is between humans and bed bugs. Fucking Paris is being overrun with bed bugs right now. And the country's, like, trying to not acknowledge that it's a problem. But from what I've seen, apparently this is, like, already getting to the point where it's, like, cost, like, €1 billion in, like, people trying to, 'cause, like, you can't do anything if bed bugs get to, like, a saturation point. There's nowhere to not, like, they're just everywhere. And so the city, or, like, the government officials are, like, trying to downplay it and be like, no, everything's fine. But, like, apparently it's not. And then I found some fucking 4chan post from 4 months ago where this guy, this, like, French incel dude was like, I fucking hate France so much that I've decided I'm going to raise up a bunch of bed bugs and just start leaving them on the subways until they take over the city. And again, I saw it on the internet. I don't know if it's true, but, like, I think it's kind of funny if it is. Like, this is the best thing an incel's ever done, is just destroyed the city of Paris with bed bugs.
Is it because even French whores didn't want to fuck him? Like, why is he so mad?
I don't know. I don't even, he didn't say anything about incels, women. He's just on 4chan, so I assume he's an incel.
Don't support sex work, and it's a whole aspect of the thing.
I'm only assuming that he's an incel because the post was from 4chan. Like, but I feel like that's kind of safe, right?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about 4chan other than every time I've ever heard about it, it has been with that kind of that.
Yeah. Yep.
So, you know, pour one out for our fallen comrades over in Paris.
Wait, to be clear, are the bedbugs our comrades or the people?
Both, which cannot be the answer to that question.
You know what? I think it can.
Our French comrades are just the mattresses, actually. That's whose side we're on. We're pro beds.
I am in a bed right now. I'm very pro bed.
Yeah.
I'm going to say I'm pro bed, but anti bug. I don't know if that's controversial around here, but
fucking centrist ass Kennedy every goddamn time.
Many people are saying this.
Anyways. Yeah. Oh, you want to hear about the most American thing ever?
Yes. No. Okay. Is this a trick question?
I mean, I'm probably going to tell you whether or not you say yes or no, but for the purposes of the conversation flowing, it would help for you to say yes, which you already did. So allow me to begin.
Can I say no now, even though I said yes before?
Nope. This week, a man was arrested at the Wisconsin Capitol building after showing up with three things going on here. One, he had no shirt on. Two, he brought his dog. And three, he also brought a gun. Now, he was demanding to speak with Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers, apparently in relation to the issue of domestic violence towards men. Like, he was like, I'm not leaving till I get to talk to the governor about domestic abuse of men. But he was on state Capitol grounds with a gun, which you're not allowed to do. The police arrested him, and they did confiscate his gun. They also took his dog, and his dog was taken to animal control. He ended up going to jail, but he was able to bail himself out that same day. Now, when I told you this is the most American thing ever, it's because after getting bailed out of jail, this man returned to the Wisconsin Capitol with a bigger gun
and a bigger dog.
No dog. He only had one dog, but he had two guns, and he brought the big gun. It's like, no, really. And then he just got arrested again right away.
Not two guns, one pup.
This dude got arrested for bringing a gun to the state Capitol twice in one day. Like, holy shit. He paint this that man red, white, and blue. He should be Speaker of the House, right? Like,
this could solve so many problems.
I think that his dog should be Speaker of the House. He can FaceTime other dogs.
Speaker of the Doghouse?
Not have a genetic connection to. Yeah. That was the joke. Thank you.
Well, he's got my vote. I don't have a vote, but if I did, it would be his.
The dog or the guy?
The gun.
I'm voting also for the gun.
Vote gun no matter who. It would have been fun if the words gun and who rhymed. Hey, there was a massive drug bust in Florida this week. Right. A man was caught bringing thousands of dollars worth of illegal drugs across state lines. They were boner pills. Apparently.
Boner alert.
Apparently a 77-year-old man who lived at the Villages, which I don't know what the fuck it is, but I hear about it a lot. It's like a 20,000 member retirement community or something. It's like a whole town that's just a retirement community where there have been stories about like rampant STDs going around and like people going crazy. And
they be fucking at the Villages.
The Villages be going off.
So this man just got a plug for some like black market Viagra and then got caught instantly. And
he forgot to ask the dealer if he was a cop.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, a 77-year-old man, he assumes that, he's been out of the game too long. Or this is his first. If you start criming at 77, man, you're going to be bad at it. Respect, but like Google it or something. Watch a show, dude. Like,
yeah, watch first couple of seasons of Breaking Bad. Don't watch the later ones.
Yeah, you're not gonna like how it ends.
You'll start getting bad advice again.
There's so much ways to learn crime from television, both what to do and not to do, and yet here you are getting a whole village's worth of boner pills snatched.
Yeah, so I don't know. I would say free him, but he lives in Florida, so yeah, I don't know. But
somewhere in here is a criming up joke, like a boner crime up something. Fridge magnet.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Write your own punchline.
You're welcome, listeners.
Your own punchline really writes itself, Jeff.
Yeah. Hey, here's something that I saw the headline and was like, I don't care, this is dumb. But then I just so happened to like, all right, why am I even seeing this? What's the big deal? And then I was shocked at what I found. So this week was October 3rd, which is, as we all know, Mean Girls Day, you know?
Mean Girls Day.
Mean Girls Day.
Woo!
So in honor of Mean Girls Day, the Paramount put up on their official TikTok.
The Paramount?
The company Paramount, like the production studio, whatever the fuck. They put up
the Paramount?
Drop the.
No other. None other than the Paramount.
They put up on their official TikTok the entire movie of Mean Girls in like 23 different clips. And this was what the headline said. Like, Paramount to put entire Mean Girls film on TikTok for Mean Girls Day. And I was like, why is this even an article? Like, what? This is just a sentence. But then I looked into it. Apparently, what they did here was when you break something up into clips like that, that Paramount then still gets the ad revenue from TikTok, but because of the format in which it's presented, they do not have to pay any residuals off of that ad revenue. So it's actually fucking evil.
My God.
Yeah. I was like,
are you fucking kidding me?
And like, it didn't get it didn't go super viral or anything. Like, I think the highest views any video had was like 25,000. So like, it's not like they made a ton of ad revenue, but they were like, let's see if we can just get a little extra cash and not have to pay any of the people that we're contractually obligated to pay otherwise. Yeah, we live in hell.
Because the target audience, the people that are nostalgia watching Mean Girls on October 3rd, aren't super on TikTok.
Yeah, put it on Facebook Reels.
Yeah, right. If they had let it get copied from Instagram to Facebook, they might have got some people.
Yeah.
What a flop. An evil flop is one of the worst kinds. Like, I'm glad it was a flop, but how embarrassing.
Bad look for everyone involved.
Speaking of a bad look, Elon Musk.
Always
bad look for everyone involved once again.
Elon Musk is,
so gross.
So gross and so stupid. He is currently being investigated by the Securities and Exchanges Commission. Is it just Securities and Exchange? I don't fucking know. The SEC is investigating Elon Musk in regards to his purchase of Twitter. But he was supposed to testify this week and he didn't. So they are now suing him for failing to testify. I have seen a few people talking about this week that the people that currently hold the debt with which he used to buy Twitter are exploring, like, doing some fucking legal shenanigans to just take the control of Twitter away from him. Now, again, and I hate that I have to say this in
not
every story.
The bank trying to repossess Twitter.
Like,
incredible.
Literally. Or legitimately. Here's the thing. I hate that I've had to say this with like half the stories this week, but I saw this on the internet, so I don't know if it's true or not. but like, man, that's funny. Like, if he, the Twitter is currently valued at about $8 billion. It was 44 whenever he bought it. Like, this man has destroyed the investment, and like, those the banks do have that debt. Like, it technically belongs to him, but it's like, I don't know. It's within reason that this could get repossessed. Like, I guess I don't know how things work when they're that big.
I wonder though that they couldn't, like, he could make an argument that he dissolved Twitter and it became X. So like, there is nothing to repossess because it's a new entity, but that's massively discredited by the fact that you still have to go to twitter.com to access it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that even is why, so many news articles, even though it's like corny and stupid to read, they always refer to it as X, formerly known as Twitter. It's like that legally, like, this is the same entity. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's just something that I'm looking for fucking patterns in the clouds. I'm stupid. Who cares?
I'll say this. They might not take Twitter away from him simply because who would want it right now?
Gravy. Gravy, would you be a good CEO?
Looking for something to do.
Who?
Gravy, you looking for some stuff too?
Yeah. I mean, she does not. She's been fired from editing the podcast. Look, I didn't want to do this on the show, but yeah, I did. I had to lay great. Well, she has been laid off. We could consider bringing her back at a later time for, you know, reduced pay, of course. Like, times are tough. Uh-huh.
Don't let Andrew try to make you think that he's making good decisions. He laid off Gravy so he could bring on Biscuit and pay Biscuit less because Biscuit doesn't know.
Oh, shit. Biscuit's young and naive. Biscuit has no money sense.
Gravy had a 401k. Yeah. Biscuit's like, I'm too stupid to probably live to five.
But after Gravy hissed at Biscuit last week, Andrew had grounds for dismissal.
Yeah, we're really airing a lot of, like, you know, this is a privileged conversation.
I'm sorry. We shouldn't be sharing this with the
listeners. Little peek behind the curtain. This should have been on the bonus feed.
Yeah, yeah. Elon Musk this week also removed... Kennedy, I don't know if you saw this. He removed the text of headlines from news articles. So now if you retweet a news article, it is literally just a picture. Like, the heading image from the article has no words on it at all.
It's worth a thousand words, some would say.
Well, here's the thing, is that what that now allows you to do is share an article from any website that will just, whatever the heading image is, you can pretend that the article is about whatever you write in your tweet. So, friend of the show, Juniper...
That's what I do anyway.
Well, friend of the show, Juniper, took an article from Forbes magazine or some fucking, like, you know, well-known publication about Elon Musk, and she shared it with no headline. So she wrote her own, which was just something about, like, Elon Musk has been credibly accused of being a pedophile.
Allegedly.
Now, here's the thing. There's a couple. Elon Musk then acknowledged that this happened and suspended Juniper. So, like, you know, Juniper got her account nuked, but Elon Musk did see the fact that she called him a pedophile, which is kind of maybe not worth it, but pretty funny. Now, this is there's a bit of a wrinkle here because, you know, Elon Musk specifically, you know, lashed out at this user for insinuating that he was a pedophile. However, Elon Musk himself, just a few years ago, was directly, not allegedly, but directly calling a guy a pedophile because he was trying to help some kids that were trapped in a cave. Like, it's, you know...
Yes, because if you want to help children, it has to be because you want to fuck them.
It's calling someone a pedophile for me, but not for thee. And frankly, just have a little consistency, Elon. Or don't. I don't care. Fuck you.
I mean, I wouldn't expect that anytime.
Yeah, yeah. He's fucking it up, folks. Who would have thought?
Wow.
This week.
RIP Juniper's account. Also, yes. Just a slight buddy of mine. And I feel ya.
Yeah. You can't tell somebody to go in a submarine. You can't insinuate that they might be a pedophile. What is it? What is comedy anymore, since it's clearly not legal?
Yeah, except, I mean, let's be honest for just one second, and then we can go back to the jokes. You can insinuate that somebody's a pedophile if they're transgender.
I like that you said, let's be serious for one second, and then made that many hand motions.
Once again...
The audience really doesn't know.
You made a valid point, but you made it. You basically just went it turned into an inflatable arms guy outside of a car dealership for like a minute. And so,
yeah,
I agree with you and enjoyed it.
I was thinking that your performance resembled the alien that sorts the mail in Men in Black.
Ooh. Mm.
Little niche reference to the MIB. Also, you know, you bring up the submarines comment. You bring up the pedophile comment. What can you say on Elon Musk's free speech platform?
You can say, I don't know, anything as long as he likes it.
That's what free speech means.
Yeah, yeah. Free speech is whenever I approve.
Free speech is when you suck up to one weird guy.
Made of wax.
So weird. Hey, this week, speaking of, no transition. This week, a Colorado funeral home is under investigation after neighbors called authorities complaining of foul odors coming from the funeral home. Now, I will say, it's a funeral home. You know, there's weird shit going on there with dead bodies. Like, but apparently. Apparently, people were so disgusted by this that they had to get the police involved. Now, the funeral home in question is known for practicing green burials. That would be burials that do not involve...
I was hoping you were going to say practicing dark magic.
Well, tune into the end of this story.
Ooh!
So, green burials are just like funerals that don't use any embalming fluid or like use metal caskets. Yeah. It's you know just something that doesn't hurt the earth whenever.
My grandma had a green burial,
so
relatively simple.
Upon investigation, like the police showed up and they looked through this funeral home, and what they found was at least, which is a word that is very unsettling that you don't know an exact number. That's what was in the story. At least 115 decaying bodies just chilling inside of this funeral home, which they can't identify. They don't know who these dead bodies are. Now, the report...
But where are the funeral home people to answer the questions about this?
What I would assume is they ain't saying shit. One of the things that was also in this news story was apparently the owner of this funeral home is a practicing taxidermologist. Now,
taxidermist.
Now,
let's go.
They did not say it in the article. There was like no additional information. It was very short, but I am willing to speculate that this guy was making dead people puppets.
Sometimes the dermis be taxing, you know?
Mm-hmm. There's only two things in life that are for certain. Derm and taxes. All right.
When all you have is taxidermy equipment, everything looks like a guy you're about to stuff.
Yeah, so the article didn't say that these 115 bodies, that some of them were stuffed, but like that has to be what this was, right? Like, you're not going to just have 115 bodies stacked somewhere. You're going to have them posed.
I wonder though, I was thinking, is there something else going on? Like, they did these green burials. So, did they like do some murder and then bury not the people they were supposed to be burying in the graves? And like, these are the people that they were supposed to bury.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. Although I'm in favor of green burials overall, if you were going to go into the murders business and you were like, I'm starting a green burial funeral home, really seems like there's potential. I don't know.
Honestly, anybody that's like, I'm starting a funeral home, I've got a lot of questions about that guy. Like, it's one thing to work, to like get a job at one, to be like, I'm starting a new one. It's like,
you know what?
I've looked into the other funeral homes in the area. Their practices are lacking.
I would say, in fact, they are inadequate.
Listen here, you Scooby-Doo Muppets. I'm
not going to stop, but keep going.
I actually, like, now that I think about it, there are no new funeral homes. Like, I've lived in the same place my whole life, and, like, there are no new funeral homes.
Yeah, because starting a funeral home is weird.
Super yeah, fucking weird. Yeah.
It's weird.
I'm with Andrew here. Starting a brand new funeral home is extremely suspicious behavior.
And you probably are doing it so that you can make people puppets. Your Honor, we rest our case.
Case rested.
115. That's so many.
No, it said at least 115. You have to know the exact number. Like, what? How yeah, do you not know the exact number? What the fuck did you find in there? Please. I need to know. Release the files.
I need answers. They were only charging They were only charging $1,900 for the burial.
That's not a lot. That's not a lot.
I like that the news said that they were improperly stored. Like
they
by
were
improperly
fucking posed. I'm telling you.
I have so many questions and none of them are going to be answered and we are never going to follow up and I'm going to forget we talked about it until later.
Well, I'll tell you this.
Years later.
I'll tell you this. Yeah. I have one question and it's a very important question and it is the question that is also the name of the segment with which we will be ending this week's episode. And that question is a question that we have asked many times before, but unfortunately we must ask again. And that question is, what the fuck, Joe Biden? This would be a great time for theme music, but we don't have any for the segment. But yeah, what the fuck,
Joe Biden? Okay.
It's a ska song. So yeah. Joe Biden, he's fucking around again.
What the fuck, Jim Brandon, yet?
This man was doing a lot of fuck shit this week. Beginning with, first of all, he kicked Commander out of the White House. That's right. The dog that just wanted to keep biting Secret Service agents, which is, in my opinion, an honorable thing to do, has been expelled. Has been kicked out. What's that?
Right and correct to bite Secret Service agents.
There's never a wrong time to bite a Secret Service agent.
I agree.
Yeah, take a bite at a crime. And by crime, I mean a Secret Service agent. This has been Scruff McGruff. So
Wow.
Yeah, I forgot. Wow. I never told you before. I am Scruff.
And powerful stuff happening today on this show.
Truly. So there is no law that says we can't still vote for Commander to be the next president. So, you know, if you've got your ballot waiting at home, don't panic. Just
in line.
Stay in line. Vote Commander 2024. He's the dog for the job. Hey, in addition to that, Joe Biden doing other fuck shit this week. Now, I guess he didn't technically do this week, but it just came into effect this week. Student loan payments started back up again. Woo!
Let me put everybody on one. One of my clients is an education lobbyist and informed me that if you don't pay them for the next year, you will accrue interest, but they will not report you to the IRS. They will not do anything. So if you don't have the money and you're stressing the fuck out, fuck it.
Will affect your credit, though. I was looking into that a little bit. Like they won't necessarily put like a lien on your shit or whatever, however that works. But I mean, unless they do something else about this, you're still getting fucked.
That's what I mean. They're not reporting. The IRS is not reporting to the credit bureau on non-payment for a year.
The IRS and the credit bureau are two different things, right? Like that, those two aren't related.
Right. But like the Internal Revenue Service is who is in charge, like retains the data on federal student loans.
I have like a math alert button.
Yeah, no, I'm not getting close to math.
The thing that I read said that like you wouldn't get any liens, but it would still affect your credit. So I don't know. Maybe it won't, but you will definitely still accrue interest, and there is no plan. Well, I will say this. There is a plan for about half of the 28 million borrowers that are restarting their loans. The plan is they can't pay this. About 14 million people just will not be repaying their student loans once they get the next bill or their first bill in 3 years. So, you know, I would argue with another election happening less than just a little over a year from now, it's bad that 14 million people are getting fucked right now. Joe, Jim, Brandon. What the fuck? Lastly, this week, I want to just read a quote. This is from Joe Biden. It's a short quote, but I think it's very impactful. It's just three words, but here it is. Build that wall. That's right, folks. This week, Joe Biden signed an executive order to allow the construction of 20 miles of border wall in Texas. That's right. He's a wall guy now.
Unbelievable.
Ordinary, normal, fine.
Yeah.
Very cool and normal.
Very normal.
Now, this is gross and insane for a number of reasons. So apparently this is like funding that got approved for this border wall in 2019. So like this has just been in our budget that like it apparently has to be spent this fiscal year. So Joe Biden, like he claims, he's like, oh, there's nothing I could do. However, in order for this project to get approved, he had to sign executive orders to do like eminent domain shit to take people's land away or something like that. Or no, it was environmental things that like the project would interfere with. He gave them exemptions through executive order. So this wouldn't have happened had he taken no action, and instead he took action to allow it to happen. And he did make a point to come out and say that he still thinks border walls are ineffective and a bad idea. Thanks, dude. Sick.
What a bad president.
He's a real bad president.
Christ, Joe Biden.
What the fuck?
The fuck?
Okay, well, fuck the government. What the fuck, Joe Biden? Lastly, just to end on a little bit of good news, which I don't feel like either you will agree with me, but it's my show, so fuck it. Like a phoenix rising up from the ash, this week McDonald's announced that the McRib is coming back.
Saw that.
So that's good.
They tricked me. And here's the thing, is that the last time that the McRib was out, McDonald's, their ad campaign was, this is the final time we will have the McRib. And, you know, the McRib is typically like a not even a regular, like it's sometimes it's every year. Sometimes you won't get it for like 2 or 3 years. They've never like blatantly and specifically
based on the coastal migration patterns of certain insects.
Yeah. They've never come out and specifically said, this is the last time we will do the McRib, until the last time they did it. And so clearly it was a lie, which I'm fine with, but people were like yelling at me. They're like, they say that it's the last time every time. And it's like, I pay a lot more attention to the McRib than anybody else that I know does, including you. So like, no, they do this. This is the first time they've yanked our chain. And I don't appreciate them yanking our chain, but I do appreciate that I'm going to get to eat a McRib again soon. And you are no listeners. If you think you know more about the McRib than I do, you can go fuck yourself.
This is the only time I've ever heard Andrew Hillary sound like passionately informed about a topic.
You're goddamn right I am. Yeah, so
Andrew
I can't...
Hillary's virgin special interest is the McRib.
Yeah, I would say, listeners, if you're considering, if you've never had a McRib and you want to try one, first of all, congratulations. Second of all, please do not expect it to be good. Third of all, the best way to eat it, because it comes with onions and pickles on it, which for like a very saucy barbecue sandwich, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't need that. It's I don't like it that way. The way I get it, no onions and no pickles, and I put French fries on it. And that shit is fucking delicious. So if you're considering trying the McRib, get it the Andrew Hillary way, plain, with an order of fries. Just throw them shits right on top. You're going to have a good time.
So just so you know, the sliced onions and the pickles, that's like the traditional like toppings for a rib sandwich.
Is a rib sandwich a traditional thing?
I mean, it's like a thing like in the South, like in places where there's like a major barbecue culture.
I never knew it was something that would come on a sandwich tradition, but that I don't care. Deanna, well, Kennedy. I
don't know that you can have a bone on a sandwich, but.
I went to England and I got fish and chips, and I was shocked because every time I've ever had fish and chips in the United States, that shit was a fish sandwich. And they handed it to me. It was just a big piece of cod. You know, battered, and they had little chips and little mushy peas. And I was like, where's the bread? And they looked at me like I was a fucking asshole.
Were.
I mean, I was. I am. But I was like, come
Justin,
on, man.
No, nothing.
I thought this came on a bun.
No, that would be a fish sandwich, not fish and chips.
Well, if you came over to my house, I would offer you a bun.
Thank you.
Just so you know. And that's not just you, Deanna. That's you also, Kennedy.
If you were to my house, I would tell you to think outside the bun.
If you came over to my house, I wouldn't stop at fourth meal. I would feed you fifth meal. Kennedy, Deanna, this has been fun. Thank you so much for joining us. Do you want anyone to find anything anywhere?
No.
Nah.
Sick. Well, you can find the show at Worst Week Yet.
Don't catch COVID. That's
don't catch COVID. Wear a gun. Do your drugs out of masks.
Have a backup dog.
Have a backup dog. That's, you know, vote for Commander. Look, take whatever lesson you need to away from today, but just have fun. And go to patreon.com/worstweekyet to support the show. And follow all the stuff. And more important than I would say some, if not all, of that bullshit, tune in again next week for more bad news.